Welcome to the Evaluating Biopharma podcast, where we provide industry decision makers with insider access to veteran bioprocessing experts willing to pay it forward so you can leverage their knowledge, learn from their successes, and even avoid repeating their mistakes.
Good day to everyone. I am delighted to have with me the distinguished Joseph Schultz, currently Vice President of Bioprocess and Product Development at Evolu Biosciences. Previously, Joe's led teams at Novartis and Amgen, building factories of the future. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, John.
So, if I recollect correctly, Amgen was one of the first, if not perhaps the first company to embrace new technology in a kind of a at least intensified and maybe semi-continuous mode. But that started something which dramatically changed the industry. So when you were there, what was the thinking of the leadership behind this innovation?
I think, thinking back, the idea was really challenging, are we doing it the right way for the last 30 or 40 years? If you really look at biopharma, we haven't really changed anything that we're doing at a manufacturing standpoint in since the beginning. So it was a complete rethink of what are the drivers today? What are the prevailing market forces and are we meeting those challenges appropriately?
And so when you reviewed, your requirements at that time and made you think you could go down a new path, did you feel you could analyze everything up front and you knew that future and it had been planned out? Or to what extent were there challenges and things you couldn't foresee that made you change direction on that journey?
I think the key was we set sort of a base understanding of what were the challenges that we were trying to meet. And with the realization, I think, that along the way, we were going to come across, we had ideas of what tools we could use to meet the challenges. But we understood that we were going to see some challenges along the way. So I think that openness to adapting. And I mean, to be clear, what those challenges were that we saw at the time were basically a realization that healthcare costs were a major driver, that the number of people seeking healthcare was soon going to outnumber or overwhelm the amount of money that payers have to pay for this. The realization that there are new modalities coming, right, to meet that challenge from research, but traditional batch mAb, monoclonal antibody plants are limited in their capability. And then the traditional model that the old school thinking that large centralized giant, facilities that the single plant serves the world kind of thing is outdated and really ends up overwhelming most companies with underutilized capital and labor just sitting there. So what we looked to do was turn that completely on its head. And could we get more out of smaller facilities that are nimble, fast to build, replicable, et cetera.
And can you go into the senior management when you identify this problem and you set out to solve it? Amgen's got a portfolio of products that may have been important in how you went about it, but this is quite a significant change. So how did the senior leadership get comfortable with taking some of the risks that you did on that journey?
So I think it was, I have experience doing this at two different companies. Amgen was the first, and then my successor company at Novartis. And I think actually was different for both. At Amgen, it was very much driven from the development organization, and there was, I think quite open-minded senior management who were interested in pushing to a point to meet the demands for the products that they had at the time. In the second instance, actually, I think it was really a confluence of really good situation. you know, basically there was very, very open-minded leadership at Novartis when I was there. And a key factor that is very important, they had a reasonably sized batch network that was completely or soon to be completely utilized. So they had the capability to rethink how they might do their next generation of manufacturing capability. And that's really important. If you have, unused capacity, you're never going to get the investments, right? Because you're still paying for that unused capacity. Why add more? And I think that was a really critical opportunity.
And so when you were at Novartis, I mean, people, I think, externally to Novartis consider it a relatively conservative company. And in comparison to Amgen, you know, West Coast attitudes led by development, in Novartis, I guess it was a different story. There was a more complicated or risk-averse nature in the senior management. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was. But actually, at the time we initiated the program there, there were a couple of key pioneers, if you will, who were willing to really sort of have an open mind, and listen to the concept. And then really when you lay out the business case and you build it and you have to do it exactly such that everybody sees that there's a little in it for everybody, right? R&D gets the flexibility they need. Development gets significantly faster, cheaper, to the clinic to market. Manufacturing gets cheaper, more flexible. Quality gets simpler. Systems, and when you really start to build out the how this is impactful across the organization, and that you're solving problems. So you start with the problem, and you look for solutions to solve the problem, as opposed to, let's be honest, traditionally, we find solutions and then go hunting for a problem to solve with it, right?
Right.
And that brings us to continuous. Continuous is an answer. It's a tool. It's not the objective, right? And when you use it as a tool to solve the problems, then you're using it right, and it serves your business case.
So essentially, within Novartis, that ability to understand how this one tool, continuous, might impact all the different business drivers, that's what led for the senior management to say, this looks like it's worth backing. Because I am sure there were bumps on that road when you could have had, design reviews and various other business reviews to say, this isn't going right. And did you experience any of those things? And if so, how did that challenge of problems and overruns and cost, if there were any, how did that impact that journey?
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's always bumps in the road, but if I look back on the journey, and I was just recently reviewing the journey, the what we said we were going to do at the start is exactly what we did, and we stayed true to it. So The business case is everything. I mean, when you have a strong business case, and believe me, after a while, your job becomes reminding the business case. So through variety of organizational changes and management, flux and things like this, the support can be maintained. Right now, that's not enough. You have to come with data. Right.
Yeah.
So part of the original sort of plan was how to step into the business case, step by step, with key milestones and progressive, building upon previous success and et cetera. And of course, you trip here or there, you get up, you dust yourself off and try again. But I mean, those who know me know I like the metaphor of how do you eat an elephant, right? And the truth is bite by bite, right? Step by step. We started with dipping into disposables which at the time was not an industry accepted thing, right? So we were tip of the spear on that and put some of the first GMP clinical, disposable bioreactors in play. Then we extended to perfusion and continuous capture, and then, to demonstrate that we could do monoclonal antibodies. 8 or 9 different molecules actually ended up proving itself out. And we never really had a failure in implementing the technology. We had a failure. I can come back to this later, but there are limits to where a continuous is best valuable and where it's not. Like I said, it's a tool. And then, the eventual goal is to expand beyond monoclonal antibodies into the flexibility of multiple modalities. So when you do it in steps like that and it builds, you don't end up choking on the first bite when you eat that elephant, right?
And so when you do have that problem that puts you on a delay or puts at risk the program, it sounds to me like because you've made such a solid business case before, that hasn't changed the goal, and people in industry appreciate when there are problems we can run through it. But was there a time when you were worried that made you doubt as you went through this, or did every problem seem foreseeable and was able to be overcome?
Actually, it's a mix, and in some ways to the contrary. So some of the problems, for example, technical problems that we imagined were going to come, actually, when we got there, they weren't challenges at all.
Right.
It was more of a mental challenge, right? In other cases, we came to the realization that, what we thought would be traditionally important, we thought things like chromatography connecting these were going to be complex. Turns out filters are, you really know somebody's into and knows what they're talking about in a continuous integrated process when they're talking about why, like capacity and flow rates on filters and not chromatography and things.
Interesting.
Things like this.
Yeah.
I'd say the biggest challenge along the way actually is keeping sort of the stamina and the fortitude within the technical teams, right? So the what do we fear? We fear the unknown, right? So until you have success, there's always doubt. And I do remember a case where the head of the pilot plant came to me and said, "Joseph, this isn't working. Can we just quit now?" And of course I said no. And shortly after that, complete success for, a run of 10 batches or something like this. And to this day, that person will not admit to me that they ever doubted.
Yeah.
Because success.
We're all human. We're all human, aren't we? I think that's
well, success is the great eraser of doubt.
Yeah, there we go. So, thinking about that and this movement to continuous, and I think, other people might put in intensified cultures as equally important. But why are some making rapid moves into it, building facilities, and other people sort of sitting on the sidelines and waiting? How would you view that if you're an independent person about evaluating which road is best for you? How would you go about that?
I think it's situational, to be honest. And one, I think it has to do with where you are as a company. So if you've already invested quite a lot into traditional batch culture, it's going to be very hard to move away from that. Like I said before, especially if you're underutilized. And there are examples in the past that are well known, and I won't call them out here, where just tremendous batch facilities were built and then the pipeline sort of didn't come. And so, there's no drive to intensify. Biopharma is really kind of interesting, and my provocative statement is it's not very innovative, to be honest. Other industries tend to innovate and drive, and we tend to do the same thing because, well, if it isn't broken, don't fix it. It's regulated, whatever, crazy thing. So what it takes is for somebody to be the tip of the spear and prove that it can be done, and then there are quick followers, right?
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, I would say that those who don't have a manufacturing network at the moment can have the opportunity to start this with these approaches, following on the lessons learned from those who are the tip of the spear, I suppose.
And is there an optimum, do you need a certain kilograms per year or a certain size of portfolio that it makes sense, or is this applicable at any time in anyone's nature?
Well, I think, as you know, I'm a big advocate of continuous or integrated processing for many reasons. But part of being tip of the spear is you get bloody occasionally, and I definitely had those learnings. It continuous isn't best in all cases. There is sort of, as it turns out, a minimum batch size or output per batch that is needed, because when running continuous closed systems, and there's a lot of sort of nuances that go with this, tools like disposable technologies, sterile connector technologies, things like this are very useful and valuable, but they're expensive currently, probably outsized in how expensive they are. And this really then comes to a point where it can overwhelm. If you have a low output cell line or something like that, turns out there is a too small. And I had this case, this failure at one point, where we didn't yet fully understand the cost of the raw materials at the point, because we were still building the systems and things. And then in the end, when we did the math, it was much more expensive to run a continuous system per gram, sort of COGM costs, than the other seven programs that we had tested and put together. So in that case, I think we have to realize that there's probably a need for a hybrid network. If you're going to run these sort of lower demand, lower output, products, where batch may actually be the right thing still.
So flexibility, really, as you think about the future, is a key driver.
Yeah, I mean, it's not all or none, and the reality is, in the batch world, you still have CMOs and things like this. So if you don't want to build that capability, but then again, often your reactors that you run perfusion or things like that on can be run as batch as well.
Yeah. So now you've joined Evolo. Tell us what you're doing there.
This is a whole new level of crazy, I think.
I like it.
What we're driving a new modality, I think. This will be akin to monoclonal antibody modality or cell therapy or gene therapy. Basically, we're driving extracellular vesicles derived from monoclonal microbials at a price point probably an order of magnitude or more lower than a traditional biologic. Wow. Means we plan to access the entire world, which in turn means that we have crazy demand projections, right? Because when you're not serving just a portion of the world, but all of it. So now I'm looking at a continuous on a almost unfathomable scale. And we're talking, perhaps 20,000 liter type perfusion systems and the adjoining downstream integrated processes, simply to meet the demand and the price points. So it's continuous from a completely different angle than.
So it sounds to me like you're going to need to invent a whole lot of new equipment to handle that kind of volume and whole different price point on media. Everything is, again, got to be challenged, as you did right from the beginning.
Exactly. So, never be bored. Always find a new challenge.
Well, that is fantastic, Joseph. I'm going to leave it there on that note. Thank you very much for your time today.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Please visit www.evaluatingbiopharma.com to access the on-demand video and to download the summary article. You can also access the Evaluating Biopharma content archive, sign up for our newsletter, and register to attend an upcoming Evaluating Biopharma virtual networking event. Feedback or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you.